Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, and I'm joined by producer and co-host, Alex Wong. Alex, do you enjoy Raptors-Celtics on the weekend?
Raptors-Celtics was a preseason classic. I can't even think of another preseason game in Raptors lore that I enjoyed as much. I'm sure Raptors fans listening will tell us that there have been past preseason classics, but man, we had, you know, they started out slow. They had the 43-point second quarter. Gary Trent at the buzzer.
Yep.
Never underestimate the heart of a champion. Doesn't even make sense anymore, but we still say it.
No, it's fine.
And then the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, you knew it was going to be a classic fourth quarter when Nick Nurse brought out the full court press to start the quarter.
Oh, my goodness.
How did you feel when that happened?
Yeah, Nick Nurse is sick, first off, for doing that. I'm sure these third stringers were not prepared for a full court press. Jabari Parker seemed very out of it. I can't believe he was a former number two pick. He looked not very good. Didn't look like he cared. I mean, whatever. It's preseason. I guess he's a vet, technically. But yeah, no, I mean, Jabari Parker versus Sam Dekker down the stretch there was quite the sight to behold.
Yeah, Sam Dekker transforming into Matt Thomas in the last minute. I'm actually not sure if he had played in the preseason before
He had played in the last 2 minutes of the first Philly game. But evidently no one remembers this. Yeah.
Man, we're really going to give a full blow-by-blow breakdown of the final minute of this preseason game.
Let's start there because eventful, I will say, because David Johnson hits a pull-up long two to tie the game. Fantastic. Raptors almost get the steal. Sam Dekker, your man. I'm just going to put that on you immediately. That's your guy right there.
Views are yours, not your employers. Yeah.
That's what he writes on his shoes every game. But he almost comes up with the steal. No review. I like that. Did you like no review?
I like the no review. I like the no review because it's a preseason game.
Okay, but
like we're enjoying it in the moment. Like, I was pretty serious. Like, obviously, I wanted them to win. Uh-huh. At the end, it was an exciting game.
Yeah.
But you also got to remind yourself it was a preseason game.
You do. But I'm just saying, because this is one of the new rules this year, is that they're not just going to review every single, you know, potential, infraction, everything like that. They're leaving it to the coaches. So if you want to burn your coach's challenge, which Nick Nurse did very early, I think he used it in the first quarter on a block charge.
Surprise coming from Nick.
Yeah. So if you want to use it then you can't complain because there are no significant video reviews towards the end of the game, which I thought was actually kind of nice. To be honest, it was a 50-50 call. I didn't really mind it. I guess maybe it was preseason. Maybe in a more important moment, I'd be maybe a little bit more mad at Nick for wasting his challenge so early. But
I do think the game, the NBA game in general, has slowed down way too much.
Yeah.
Because of the reviews. And so many of these calls. And yes, there's going to be probably a moment in a big game this year where Nick has used up his challenge. Mm-hmm. And we're going to really be really upset because on a final possession, we don't get that 50-50 call. But in general, for the flow of the game, and because so many of these balls are 50-50, that I'm fine for the refs to just make that in the moment call.
Yeah, fair enough. So Raptors almost get the steal. Coming back the other way, the Raptors are pressuring the inbound, which is totally normal. 7 seconds left. They're inbounding from the backcourt. Definitely apply full court pressure, right? This is what the Raptors should have done against LeBron back in 2018, right? This is probably why.
Listen, we're trying to ease in to this Thanksgiving Monday.
Yeah.
Just a chill recap of a preseason game. We don't need to be bringing up old stuff like that.
Well,
and this is coming from someone who loves to talk about the 2018 season.
Yeah, I know you were in Cleveland that night gambling your heart away after that game. So they put on the full court press, which is good. Very, very good strategy there. Except for the fact that David Johnson gets a little bit too aggressive. So I watched the replay earlier today in preparation for the show. He grabs Juancho Hernan Gomez's jersey before the ball's even inbounded. So they really could have actually given up the lead and also not had the ball back.
Well, then Nick did say post-game, obviously, that the plan was not to foul. But I wonder if David Johnson thought it was a fouling situation in that moment. Or did he just commit a foul that he shouldn't have?
He definitely just committed a foul he shouldn't have, because that would actually be better than if he thought that the Raptors had a foul to give or that the Raptors were fouling to prevent a three or something. I don't even know, to be honest. That's just a boneheaded mistake, no matter how you cut it. And I know Nick didn't intend for that to happen because the camera just slightly caught Nick at the corner of the frame and he's face-palming.
Was this before or after he started applying the fisherman's friends like it was lip balm?
I think that's the exact moment when he decided, no, I'm gonna need OT with the fisherman. okay, so the Celtics go to the free throw line. Juancho makes both free throws. Raptors call timeout. I thought it was actually really interesting. So Nick Nurse, instead of drawing up the final play, he actually handed the clipboard off to one of his assistants, which is kind of cool, to be honest, right? Like, this is one thing that Nick loves to do with his guys is, look, we want to develop assistant coaches into full-time head coaches. That's literally happened already twice now with Nate Bjorkgren and Chris Finch in the last, you know, two seasons. So he hands the clipboard off to lead assistant Adrian Griffin. That part was also a little interesting because I thought the other new assistant, Trevor Gleason, was supposed to be taking care of most offense, but that's fine. Give it to Griff, no problem. They dropped the play. Not a bad play. Got the inbound in. David Johnson makes a good drive, draws two, kicks it back out to Delano. My only issue is it's a wide open three for Delano. That's fine, but he might be the worst shooter on the team, period. And that's nothing. We like Delano. We, you know, big fans of his game, really able to drive downhill.
Why are you speaking for me?
I don't want no smoke from Rex Dill, man. I'm sorry. I love Delano, okay? I'm just going to make that clear. But
they were clearly just trying to drop a three because they didn't want to overtime at all.
It was a good play. My only thing is, if you're going to drop that play and have that option, because Delano was the inbounder and he was in that left corner area where he inbounded, why not give the inbounder inbound to a guy who can shoot? So that if the ball rotates back to him, then there's a very good likelihood that he could at least have a chance to make the open shot. Because we've seen Delano warm up and stuff. I love mentioning warm-ups. I know that's my favorite part of the game. He can't shoot. We honestly watched him for half an hour. He made like 10 shots.
This is why we need Nick Nurse to come on the show.
Yeah.
Because I want you to ask him these hard questions about what was your thought process in the final possession of a preseason game? Mm-hmm. Like these are the questions.
He was
that
trying
Raptors
to decide whether or not he should crack a fresh bag of Fisherman's Friends or not. And he decided, yes, he needed to.
So the shot happens, and then they have how many? I think two putback attempts, was it?
They had one. I mean, Bonga made a, you know.
The Delano one didn't. And then the Delano one that was after the buzzer.
Yeah.
Yeah, very reminiscent of, you know, back in the Raptors' inaugural season when they beat the Bulls. And Michael Jordan's last second shot, you know, was just a split second after the buzzer. That was immediately what myself and a lot of Raptors fans thought of, you know, on Saturday.
Yeah, I was sweating when you were talking about season one of the Raptors because I was not there. But that is the one game that I have seen in totality. So I do know, you know, shout out to Oliver Miller.
I cannot wait until Alvin Williams joins us.
Oh, man.
And me and him start reminiscing about his game five performance in the first round of the 2001 playoffs at Madison Square Garden. Mm. An absolute classic from Alvin.
I'll be raving about my parents' performance at the citizenship test because that's what was happening for me at that time.
You're going to spend that show, you're going to spend the night before 5 hours just watching clips, just studying
tape. I don't even know where I would get tape on the 2001 Raptors-Knicks first round series.
I still probably have it at my parents' place. Maybe I taped over season one of Survivor at some point over it, but it's there. But so the Raptors lose, but lots of other things happened in the game. Now, I want to get to OG. I want to get to Scotty. But first of all, you were a guest on the morning show this morning, talking to Blake Ailish and JD. I don't know why I was up at 8:30, but I was.
I was surprised to get a text from you that early, man.
It's
a holiday Monday. Plus, you were out until 5 a.m. This past weekend, so I just figured you'd be out of commission. I didn't even think you'd come to work today, to be honest.
Honestly, all of that is very surprising to me. But you said that, so Scotty gave Svi Mihailuk the nickname Sviji.
Yep.
Because he's wet like Fiji water.
Yep.
This is the explanation.
Yeah.
You said it was an excellent nickname.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a terrible nickname.
What's wrong with Sviji?
Sviji just doesn't roll off the tongue. It's very forced.
How?
Also, like, just, I don't know, man. Just the construction of it and the concept of the nickname.
No, first
I'm
off.
I'm very against it.
First off, anything Scotty does right now is positive, okay? You understand that we're in the honeymoon period with the rookie here. And to be honest, he's done a lot of good things. Honestly, I think the nickname is good, man. It's kind of, you know, it's better than most nicknames. Because look, a lot of NBA nicknames are very boring. Can we be honest about that?
NBA nicknames,
Darren Williams.
It's a dying sport right now. Like, there's no good nicknames right
now. No more like the ticket, no more the answer, the truth, nothing like that. Right? No more the nicknames, okay? We're going with like Darren Williams is D Will, or like Chris Paul, who wears number 3, is CP3, okay?
No, you that's fair. That's fair. But
like
I
Kyle
just,
Lowry is Kalo, which, you listen, know, it's not a bad nickname necessarily, but it's very generic. Sviji is actually kind of cool.
Don't use Sviji from 2 to 3 p.m. You know, go ahead on the React Pod.
Okay.
Go ahead when you're on the morning show. This is like when Adam Silver banned Donald Sterling.
Is it?
This is, I'm banning the nickname from this hour. Yeah.
All right.
I'm drunk with power. Speaking of drunk with power, no, that's not a good transition, but we did set up a voicemail.
Oh, okay.
So starting,
I thought you were going to talk about Speed trying to do a double pump reverse.
Yes,
dunk.
That would have been the proper transition. We'll get to it. But I wanted everyone to know before we dive deeper that we have a voicemail now. You can dial us anytime at 416-413-4141. Again, 416-413-4141. Will has a voicemail greeting for you. You can just dial and listen to him say hello and welcome. And the thing we want to hear from you this week, call us and give us a bold prediction that you have about this upcoming Raptors season. We've got lots of guests coming in this week that we're going to do a lot of season preview stuff. We're asking everyone who comes in this week to give us a bold prediction. So we want to hear yours as well. So it could be player specific, could be team. Maybe you want to predict that a player gets traded or a player wins an award. Be creative if you want, but please give us a call again, 416-413-4141. Leave us a voicemail and we'll play some of them either later this week or next week before the start of the season. Now back to being bold. What is going on with Svi, man? So he's had two fast breaks during this preseason so far. Mm. And both times he's tried to pull off this like reverse double pump dunk.
Yep. Yeah, that's just a signature dunk.
Like, what's going on?
Apparently, that's a signature dunk. First off, he's got a little bit of ups, okay?
He's got a lot of confidence, which I like.
He definitely has a lot of confidence. You know, if he misses that dunk even once, I just feel like the risk is too high. But it does look pretty cool when he throws it down. But, yeah, I mean, you know.
The one in Boston was pretty tough.
It was pretty tough because he was playing quite well. Second quarter comes in. The Raptors were down 15. The bench has to bring back into it. Svi, our guy, right, comes in, drives inside for a layup, hits a three in transition. All of a sudden, the Raptors' offense, boom, went from just being completely stuck in the mud to, you know, flowing like Svi water. All right, and then Svi had to do that, which, you know, look, I'm sure if he misses one, Nick will have something to say about that. But you know, look, he just wants to tell people, look, listen, take notice of me. All right, I don't understand that when he got signed, nobody really paid attention, right? I honestly, I didn't even pay attention, and I really pay attention to the Raptors. And he's been, you know, good enough to be in the rotation from at least, you know, opening night, depending on sort of who's available and who's not. Like,
well, especially with the injuries, I'm expecting him to play a pretty big role in the second unit, at least to start the season.
He's been like one of their three best bench players.
They need points. They need guys to score.
Yeah, they need him to score.
So let's dive into some of these other guys. So Scottie Barnes, what did you think of Scottie Barnes and his performance? You know, he had to guard Jason Tatum.
Yep.
And what did you make of his performance on Saturday?
Well, one thing I liked is not just with what Scottie did, but what Nick said after the game. Because Nick Nurse is like an Asian parent. You know, like Scottie Barnes had like maybe like an 80-85 in terms of his, you know, 85% in terms of his game. And then Nick Nurse immediately said, you know, the assists are cool. Yeah, you know, you block Jason Tatum, that's cool. You know, you hit some turnaround jumpers, that's cool. But where's the other 15%? I need you to score more so that your passing plays a little bit more. And I'm just like, you know what? I like that approach because, look, if you have a kid who is gifted and talented the way that Scottie is, you want to see more. Like, yeah, that's cool that he had these 8 assists. And, you know, it's been really encouraging to see some of his defensive potential. Although I will have to say, myself also being an Asian parent, that watching the film, there were like at least 4 or 5 sequences where he left the 3-point shooter open to just, you know, to double or to help. You know, the intent was there, but ultimately those are not good defensive sequences. You know, those are things for him to clean up. But I like what Nick said because, look, I think with Scottie too, he has a scoring skill set, but he's sort of been more pass first, which is fine. Pass first is totally fine, but of course you have to establish that scoring aspect as well. So I think it's exciting to see him adjust to that a little bit. In the second quarter, he had 2 drives where he took on Al Horford one-on-one, drove, turn around, hit a, you know, short mid-range jumper. Another one where he backed down Jason Tatum. To be honest, Tatum was playing him hard for like 2 seconds of that possession that he realized it was preseason and then stopped guarding. But still, he had the turnaround jumper over Jason Tatum. Not easy to do. Not even just easy to get that off, period, because, you know, Tatum's got such a long wingspan and he's like 6'8". So I like seeing that, and I kind of want to see more of it. One thing I want to see Scottie do more is drive all the way to the basket and finish there too. We saw it in the first game where he had a play where he got the ball in the post, faked a dribble handoff, and then drove around Danny Green for a dunk. That was a great moment. We've seen him dunk a couple of times in transition as well, but I would like to see him attack the basket out of a half-court setting and just to sort of establish himself as a scoring threat, because I think he does actually have a bit of a scoring touch, right? We're seeing that he's able to flash, you know, around that elbow area, maybe even sort of in the paint, and he sort of put up a couple of little push shots and stuff like that. Like, he has scoring touch. He doesn't have, like, you know, step-back jumpers and all that stuff. He doesn't really even have the catch-and-shoot jumper down just yet, but there's something there, and if you compare that with the fact that he's already a naturally, you know, gifted passer and reader of the game to go along with the defense, like, you know, he's there. Like I said, he got an 85, and then Nick just said, you know, listen, where was the other 15?
Let's keep a running grade for him. So at this point in his first semester, he's at an 85 right now.
He's at an 85, yeah. You know, in terms of his grade, I think if you remember to those TDSB report cards, there was also the section at the bottom with the letter grades of, like, you know, like, how is he with friends? You know, is he sociable? Is he kind to other people and stuff like that? Is he on time? Like, all that stuff. He's also got, like, you know, great grades. Everybody loves him. He's maybe the favorite player on the team right now.
Yeah, which is kind of incredible. But I think it goes to what you said, too. So far through the three games, you can just see, like, the activity level and just, like, the impact that he's going to have an impact on the floor when he's there. And the offensive game, I was interested because the 8 assists stood out to me in terms of the game in Boston. And, you know, I know last Friday we had a caller ask, why not just turn Scotty into a full-time point guard? Mm. Now, I don't think that's what the Raptors are going to do, but from a playmaking standpoint, what are you seeing from Scotty so far?
Well, I think it's interesting that he got 8 assists without running a pick and roll. I just do think that that's pretty rare for a wing to do in the modern NBA. Generally speaking, like, if you look at the high assist guys, right, like LeBron, Luka, you know, James Harden, these guys are working a pick and roll, like, or Kyle Lowry, obviously, or Chris Paul. Like, these guys are working pick and rolls, getting downhill, making a read, or they're such good, you know, a threat to shoot off a screen that they're, you know, dishing it out from the initial sort of pressure from a double team up top. Like, Scotty's hasn't done any of that stuff. I think that that's something that I would like to see him do more of, but he hasn't really done that, and yet he's still been effective. And if you watch the assists, one thing I like is that he's already established himself as a willing passer. So when he has the ball and he's holding at the top of the floor, even if he's holding on the wing or whatever, guys are making cuts. Guys are working really hard to get open because they kind of trust that the feed will come. It reminds me a little bit of the way Marc Gasol was able to have an impact on the team in terms of the players. Marc would have the ball up top. You know he's not looking to score. You know his last option is he takes that, you know, set 3-foot three-point shot that really did not hit at a very high rate. We love you, Marc, man. But, you know, it just wasn't it after the championship season.
Let's not forget Marc in the bubble. Remember he got a haircut?
Oh, that's
and
right.
Ripped his shirt off during the Celtics series?
Yeah, you know,
we love Marc, though.
That guy was out of ideas, man. He said, let me shave my head. Maybe that'll work. And that didn't work against the Celtics, unfortunately. But, I mean, it's similar to the effect that Marc Gasol had, which was he was able to direct traffic. Guys were able to sort of make little split cuts off of each other. You know, one guy flash up top, one guy go to the rim. There was a lot of that with Scotty. So that's interesting. I feel like that was actually a really big missing element to the Raptors last season, was not having that ability to get a couple of guys some easy baskets, right? I think that if you look at the way Scotty was assisting some of these guys, that took the pressure off of OG from having to sort of dribble one-on-one and handle against a guy and try to, like, shake him. And, you know, that takes a lot of energy. You know, they'll drain you over the course of a game. Your efficiency might go down. You know, he had a nice little pass where he was trying to feed the post and the Celtics were kind of shifted over, trying to double the post and sort of front the post to prevent the catch. Scotty read that and threw a cross-court pass right on the dime to Fred VanVleet. Fred got an open three and he made that for one of his 6 threes. You know, Fred's going to have to work a lot to get his offense this year. So if you have another guy who can create something for him, that's really nice. So I think that third dimension there is part of why the Raptors drafted him, but it's also kind of just, it opens more possibilities for the Raptors to be a more unpredictable offense. So I like that. I think that's really fun to see. And of course, the play of the game was actually him on defense blocking Jason Tatum a step back. Like, how many times has Jason Tatum put a stiff arm into a guy, not called? Okay, I love how the referees just never see Jason Tatum hooking players or stiff-arming guys. You know, that definitely happens every time he drives, but, you know, gets called maybe once a game. But he put the stiff arm into Scotty, then did a step back just to create more separation, and Scotty still blocked the shot. And then went the other way and dunked it. Like, that's – if you could say that the Raptors' identity is one play, that is the play. Then I'm sure Nick Nurse is thinking about it at night.
Yeah, my identity is V trying to go for a double pump dunk every night. That's the type of confidence I'm looking for from the Raptors.
Call him Splash Waterfalls.
Yo, no more nicknames for this guy. I call him Dasani Water. No, so the other thing, I think the other player we have to talk about when you're talking about the offense is OG. And, I mean, it's three games now. And I feel like we're just seeing this expanding package from him on offense. And to the point where Fred has said, because Pascal is not going to be playing the first at least few weeks of the season, that OG is their number one option right now on offense, is what he said after the game. Now, I don't know how much of that is just obviously kind of pumping a little confidence in him too, because he's going to be taking on this larger role. Mm. But I mean, should Raptors fans be this excited about what OG is going to bring this season?
I mean, I think so. Yeah. He hasn't really given us any reason not to be excited. I think OG is coming with new things in his bag. And, I mean, look, number one option is different, according to different situations, right? Like, I think, like, number one option in Dallas is Luka Doncic. And what that means is he's going to have the ball, I don't know, man, every 9 plays out of 10. Right? That there's that kind of number one option. This is not that. OG's not going to be that. But I think what Fred is saying is that when the offense gets a little stuck and they need a bucket, or the defense really tightens up and they need to sort of slow it down and sort of break their offense to go to a specific matchup for a guy to just sort of get the car start running and sort of get some momentum on their side, for now, without Pascal, that's going to be OG. They're going to be clearing out for him, throwing him the ball, letting him attack one-on-one and make a couple of reads. And I think in terms of what we've seen in preseason, OG has gotten the most ISOs out of anybody on the team. The Raptors haven't played a lot of ISO. They haven't even played that much pick and roll, quite honestly. But the one guy that's been the exception there has been OG. And so he looks good. He looks good. My only concern is we have this tendency of building a guy up so much with our expectations because they look really promising. And then when they don't deliver on sort of these like really lofty expectations, then we kind of like, you know, discard them a little bit and get mad.
I've never seen that from the Raptors fan base. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that hasn't happened with DeMar. That hasn't happened with Kyle. That hasn't happened with JV. That hasn't happened with Pascal most recently. It literally is, it's the only guy who lived up expectations was Kawhi. Shout out Kawhi, man. Every show we got to talk about
this. We got our Kawhi reference in. We got our Kawhi reference in for the week. I'm happy about that.
We got to make a drinking game for, actually, 2 to 3 p.m. I got, that's
no, cool. Day drinking's tough for me. Yeah, no, I think everyone's excited about OG, and I can't wait to see, especially, I don't know, I wouldn't say that Pascal being injured to start the season is a positive, but I do feel like it is going to give other players like OG and even Scotty to an extent, an extended look to kind of figure out what their role might be with this team going forward. But I will say, you know, through three preseason games, they've got two more left this week. Mm. The Raptors are 1-2, but I don't know. The vibes are pretty good. I feel pretty excited to see this team play real games.
Yeah, and quickly before we go to the break, we got to fit in the fact that Precious Achiuwa has been a lot better than advertised. I think first year in Miami, no full training camp, you know, very short preseason, no summer league. He just didn't really have a place. It was a very difficult rookie season for a lot of rookies. We saw that with Malachi firsthand. So we didn't get to see the full skill set of what he was able to do, you know, in Kentucky and things like that. He looks exciting. He's electric. I think, honestly, in terms of just raw talent, he might have as much raw talent as anybody on the team. He makes mistakes, and those are things that he needs to pare down, and that's what the coaching staff is there to do. But, you know, I've been pretty happy with what Precious has given us so far. So I think that's a good spot for us to take a quick 5-minute break. I'm your host, Wayne Liu, and you are listening to The Raptors Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. When we come back, we will play you our Media Day interview with Gary Trent Jr. Welcome back to The Raptors Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Liu. I'm joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong. second half of the segment here, we have a conversation with Gary Trent Jr., who, why is he controversial again? Why do we have to have one guy every year where Raptor fans just like are divided on?
Because you pointed out that he took 12 jump shots the other night.
That's his job. I just thought that was an interesting anomaly. I wasn't criticizing the guy, man.
What are you looking for from Gary Trent this year in terms of improvement as a player?
Make more shots. That's his job. If he makes shots, he had a good game. If he didn't make shots, he'd have a bad game. That's it. That's his whole job, is to come in and make shots.
I think a lot of times, and yes, there's a history of this, right? Like, I tried to think of players that Raptors fans have really, how would you describe it? Just kind of pick on? Is that the proper way to describe it?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is not saying that, like, oh, you can't criticize a guy or whatever, right? Like, you know, you can't point out, of, you know, this is not necessarily contributing to winning or not, whatever, right? I think there's always space for that to happen. I think it's sort of just like a guy who sort of disproportionately carries the woes of the franchise. Like for example, a couple years ago, we had Pat McCaw on the team. Anytime when the Raptors did something wrong or lost, like, people will point to Pat. And as much as I was also confused as to why Pat played so much, it was like
he's
not the difference here.
He didn't contribute so much to winning or losing.
Yeah.
Is the thing, right?
Yeah, like exactly. It wasn't a clear-cut situation like a Damari or Aaron Baines.
Yeah, those are on the list. I think Jonas Valanciunas was that player for a long time.
That one I at least understood because I participated in it. And there were some real defensive issues that, you know, whatever, affected the team, blah, 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 blah.
I think Terrence Ross for a little bit was that guy, too.
I also participated in that, and that was...
I'm basically just listing out your culprits.
Nobody searched any of my tweets from before 2021.
Before Saturday. So,
yeah.
So is Gary just the guy that people are going to pick on this season? I think the contract, too. I think sometimes people look at a player getting a new contract and a player getting traded for Norman Powell, who is a fan favorite, who has delivered
moments. Yeah, definitely delivered great playoff moments, but always a very consistent player. No one really had any issues with Norm in the first 6 years
of
his career.
Here's the thing, though. I think in the moment when the player is here and they go through that, when they leave, there's a certain nostalgia to it.
Oh, yeah. And it's like how everyone's nostalgic about JV and DeMar and stuff. It's like,
Players' Tribune essay drops.
Yeah, no,
like,
you're clinched. Great.
You're clinched as a legend in this city.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, no, you're right. Look at Terrence, too, right? I think a lot of fans miss Terrence. And a lot of fans miss Norm. Don't make me open the call-in line and tell my friends to call in
we're not doing that.
So do you think Gary should be... I think this is the ongoing discussion right now. Should Gary start?
Yes. Yeah, he should start. I think that's the best role for how he fits the starters and also how Goran Dragic fits the second unit. But let's take you to that conversation with Gary Trent Jr. from Media Day. To be honest, one of our favorite interviews from that day.
All right, we're here on Media Day. Gary Trent Jr. First off, let's start with your summer, man. You signed a $50 million deal to come back to the Raptors. Take us through that. Like, what were your emotions? How did you feel? Who did you want to contact? Everything like that.
Yeah, no, just my representation told me about the deal that was presented. You know, I sat down, you know, my family, met my representation, you know, and it was everything, you know, that I was asking for, you know, at the time being. You know, it was a great feeling. You know, it was almost as if, you know, we got to the end of the road a little bit, kind of just from where I started, from kindergarten to where I'm at now at 22 years old. You know, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of things that went into, you know, that moment. It was a great moment, you know, now work.
Yeah.
Try to have another moment like it, so.
You said you were with family. How did they receive it? They must be very proud, obviously.
For sure, you know, I was with my father. You know, like I said, everything we've done since day one to finally, you know, kind of see it come full circle or come full picture, you know, it was great. It was just a real feeling and just hugs and, you know, we made it and kind of thing and just keep going.
Now, I want to get into that because, you know, your dad played for the Raptors and had a really long career. But you guys are very different players.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, look, that's more his generation than our generation.
Yeah. I remember the pull-up socks.
Yeah. But no, I mean, like, how early did you have a ball in your hand and everything like that?
Yeah, you know, ever since I can remember, you know, being about 5 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I say this story all the time, but he just asked me, you know, do you want to be good at basketball? Do you want to play basketball? I said, sure. You know, one day he brought me to a track. We did nothing but dribbling for about the first year. You know, at every 100 meters, we was doing 10 push-ups, 10 sit-ups. So I dribble about a mile's worth.
And after that, you know, we just stay with it. You know, then it turned into traveling 3-4 hours to Indiana for AAU games. Then it turned into now we're watching a camcorder film of a camcorder while we're eating in between games. And yeah. It just started a beautiful thing started to brew together and, you know, everything flowing and all the pieces started working. So it was cool.
Yeah, because I heard, you know, I was talking to Jonathan Yim, the assistant coach on the Blazers, and yeah. He said when you were there in Portland, like, you would go anywhere to just hoop. He said that people saw you like at a barn once, like playing ball and like other places. Yeah, what's like the, what were the different places that you found in Portland to play ball?
It was just anywhere I could find, you know, obviously to hoop, to work on my game, but especially we was dealing with in the last 2 years with COVID, you know, it was hard to get anywhere. So literally anything, any place in Portland I could go, whether it's a local gym that I'm talking to, somebody's house that has a basketball court, Everything I can to hoop, to work, to make sure I was ready for the bubble, to prepare myself, to, you know, showcase what I can do.
All right, I want to pivot back to this team and everything like that. When Masai and Bobby came to you and your representation, what was their sort of pitch? What was their idea in terms of your role with this team?
Really just everything that I did. Do what I do, come as I come, play hard, lead, be a winner, join something, be a part of something that has to do with winning. Whole bunch of things, a lot of things, you know. When I came down and buckled down to it, you know, there really wasn't a better option for me.
Right.
Especially already being here, you know, seeing what they stand for, seeing what they're about. I have the same values. I look for the same things and certain things. So it was a good fit, good match.
All right, cool. Well, I also wanted to ask you about what you did in the summer, right? Because we saw a couple of videos of you working out. I forget where. Was it down to Miami?
Yeah, I've been to Miami working out on some.
Right. And we saw you in runs with Scotty Barnes. And I think Raptor fans are real excited about Scotty, obviously, yeah. The big pick and everything like that.
Sure.
What were your impressions of playing with Scotty so far?
At first, it was my first impression of Scotty, you know, his energy.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't scared. You know, he's a rookie, first time in the league, and he got a guard Drummond one-on-one. You know, as a rookie, they're not going to give you calls.
Uh-huh.
As a vet, they know you're a rookie, so they're gonna be extra physical with you, they're gonna run into you, they're pushing in there. You know, and he did back down. You know, he fought, he kept playing hard, kept talking, no matter what. So, you know, it was cool. It was good to finally, you know, see him on the court. I'm talking, he talking, so it could be a pretty cool thing.
Cool, man.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you, because obviously I think people saw that once you got to the Raptors last year, you developed a really close friendship with OG. And from the outside, you know, especially us media members, we can barely get like 3 words out of them when we interview them. Yeah. So what do you remember, like, what did you guys just bond over? Was it like, you know, just fashion, basketball? Like, what was the first thing that you guys connected on?
Literally everything.
Yeah.
Literally, just the number one thing we connected on was just being young and in the league. You know, being young, coming into the league young. Talked about, you know, everything we could have. Family, friends, where you're from, your story, how'd you get here? Where do you want to go? Literally anything. We talked about it. You know, when I first got there, you know, he was one of the first people that kind of, you know, opened up a little bit and brought me in, tried to show me the ropes a little bit, know me what's going on around the team and stuff like that. So, you know, it was cool. You know, he was a great person, hard worker, great player. You know, so.
Yeah, not to put you on the spot, but let's say if you were a 10 out of 10 in fashion, you know, what would OG be?
OG probably like, right now, he probably about a 7.
Yeah.
Throwing with me in about 2 weeks.
Where's the improvement points for you?
For him?
For him, yeah. For him.
The Crocs? Is it the Crocs?
Nah, it's not even the Crocs.
You like the Crocs, okay.
It's OG, so, you know, the Crocs is.
It fits his, like, relaxed vibe.
Relaxed, right? Chill, you know, conservative, quiet kind of thing, you know, mysterious, mystique, he's trying to give off, but it's cool.
Yeah. So you want to do the fun questions?
No, you do the fun questions.
Yeah?
That's your role.
I said, let's get to it.
Let's get the fun questions.
So here's the fun questions, okay?
Sure.
So the first one for you, if you had to interview OG for an hour and you had to pick one topic to do a 1 hour interview, what would you talk to him about?
I would ask OG if we had a conversation about an hour, would be, have a conversation about an hour?
For an hour conversation with OG.
Oh, what would I ask him?
Yeah, what would you talk
everything,
about?
Everything.
his life, his story, how he want to be like his big bro, all that.
Now, I know, obviously, you're a big fashion guy. Now, you know Nick wears a... Nick has his own hat, right?
Yeah.
He's got the NN hat. Yeah. Would you ever, if he gifted you an NN hat, would you make that as part of a pregame tunnel fit?
Of course. We'll swag it out.
Yeah? What would be the rest of the fit?
Because it's tough. It's just a black hat with the letters NN. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, you wear it all NN, time, yeah. That's cool. Wear it sideways, backwards.
Okay.
Just a sideways look?
Throw some patches on there.
With a bape? Maybe like a whole bape look? You think it matches the bape?
It depends on what it is. You know, I don't know. Depend on the fit. You know, you can throw it on with anything now.
Well, yeah.
Now I'm just imagining Nick Nurse in vape. Head to toe, and I think that would be
improved. You gotta put Nick Nurse on some vape.
Yeah, no, for real, actually.
If you had to pick one teammate to join you on the Amazing Race, who would you choose and why?
I would get Yuta or Chris Boucher.
Yeah, why is that?
Because during the conditioning on the treadmill, they're pretty good with long distance.
Really?
So I feel as if, you know, they're Amazing Race, that'd be a good part.
We're going to ask Utah after. Hopefully he'll say Gary Trent. If not, then there's an internal conflict from day one. What do you prefer movies-wise, romantic comedies or horror movies?
Depend on my mood, but I'm going to go with horror.
Yeah. Do you have like a favorite movie or favorite romantic comedy?
My favorite movie probably of all time is He Got Game.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Is there a secret talent or skill that you have outside of basketball that people don't know about?
That I am cold at 2K.
Oh, it worked? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are they on the team play?
They try. OG and them try.
Yeah?
They're not that good.
Do you play as yourself?
Yeah. When I play my player.
Yeah.
It's my face game, so it's my person.
But does 2K not recognize you? Like, wait, hold on, you're already in the game?
No. They do.
Okay, all right.
For example, on my player, he's a 99 overall.
Oh, okay,
He can do everything.
Right. So you're like windmill dunking and everything?
All that.
Okay.
Between the legs, all that.
If you were a contestant on Jeopardy, what would you want your final Jeopardy topic to be?
I feel like if it was on love, I'd be good.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. No, that's actually a great answer.
I don't think we should ask anyone else that question, to be honest. Like, let's retire that question.
I'm good.
What do you think is harder, Gary, scoring a goal in hockey or hitting a home run in baseball?
Oh, wait. First off, with the problem of trying to slide on the ice, that could be a bigger factor.
Have you ever skated?
A little bit.
Yeah?
A little bit. Rollerbladed, roller skated, not ice skated too much.
So goal, hockey goal or home run? What do you think would be harder? If you had to try.
The home run is hard because the ball and they throwing in 100 miles per hour, but just the ice contribute factor could be the hardest with the puck and, you know, trying to get it in there. So I'm going to ice.
Last one for you. You know, Drake, obviously, you know, big part of the Raptors.
Sure.
And also, you know, he likes to name drop a lot of NBA players in his songs. If he were to name drop you on a song, what would you want him to rhyme your name with?
Whatever he can make sound hard. Whatever sound hard. Yeah.
Trent. What rhymes with Trent?
Why are you asking me, man? This is clearly not my specialty.
But you relent? Know, relent would be good.
Wow. You know what? Yeah. That's not
I come
that's
up with Drake
great.
Bars all the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But, oh, yeah. We'll
you're the ghostwriter? That's what you're talking about? I'm kidding.
All right. We might need to cut that.
Well, Gary, this is great. Thanks for joining us, man. Best of luck on the season.
Appreciate
Congrats on the contract once again. And, welcome to Toronto as well.
Love. I appreciate that.
That was Gary Trent Jr., who was very game, you know, gave some great answers and just seemed like a warm guy in general. So,
do you think you could hit a home run in baseball?
Are you going to ask me one of the five questions you had written down on a piece of paper that you asked every single Raptor? What are you going to ask me next? If I'm going to wear a Nick Nurse hat? So, am I going to hit a home? Would I hit a home run or try to score a goal in hockey? I feel like objectively scoring a goal in hockey is easier. Like, yes, the skating part, but if it's just like me versus the goalie and I get like, I don't know, 100 attempts, I'll probably slide the puck past the goalie at least once. Whereas if you throw me 100 fastballs, I'm never hitting that home run.
Hitting a home run is really hard.
It's impossible. I don't know how Vladdy hit, you know, did he get the triple crown? I don't know, man.
Please.
That's not my show.
Leave that to Ben Nicholson Smith and Shai Davidi, okay?
That's not my show, yeah. But
I could score a goal.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you I figure skated growing up?
No.
Wow, you're still learning new things about me?
Yeah. So tell me about this, man. You were figure skating?
So
I immigrated here, our family, from Hong Kong when I was about 8 years old.
Yep.
This was 92. And obviously hockey, huge here in Toronto. My dad was trying to get me involved in extracurricular sports.
Yeah.
So he went to the hockey rink once to sign me up when I was in grade three.
Okay.
But he I think he meant to sign me up for the hockey team.
Yeah.
But he signed me up for figure skating.
Wow.
So I ended up figure skating for 3 years and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And then we used to go on skating trips in high school and I would just skate circles around everyone. People were shocked.
Wow. So you could have been Patrick Chan, but...
A lot of figure skaters went to my high school.
Oh, okay. Shout out
to
your high school.
I think Elvis Stoiko went there.
Wow.
Unionville High School.
This is not where I expected the conversation to go, but that's cool, man.
Yeah. We went off the rails already?
Already, yeah.
Back on topic.
Yes. What's going on?
Toronto Raptors.
Yep.
Back in action tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Houston Rockets.
Then that's correct.
They're at the Washington Wizards tomorrow, and then that's it. They have like more than a week off.
I love it because I might be taking a little rendezvous myself.
Yeah, I heard you're not going to be here next Monday. Huge surprise.
It's fine, man. I gotta, you know.
Well, prorate your salary. You'll have to pay me a day of your salary, I guess. Is that how it works?
That's not how it works. That's not how it works. I'm here on a holiday Monday. I feel like that should be given back to me at some point. Anyway.
But MLSE did announce last week that they've gotten the approval for full capacity crowds. Mm-hmm. So this is obviously for both Maple Leafs and the Raptors.
Yep.
Obviously, it comes with all the rules. Everybody has to be fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
But I think that's really exciting.
It is exciting.
For this team.
I've missed hearing the roar of Scotiabank Arena. It was a little awkward when they were tipping off the first home preseason game and there were like 600 people in the crowd. You know, I could definitely hear myself, which is not a good thing. I feel
for
like...
For the record, even when the crowd is full... You can hear Will on Media Row.
The funniest thing is, so you're not supposed to cheer if you're a member of the media, right? This is like one of the big things, right? Don't ask for autographs. I don't do that kind of stuff. But I definitely cheer because you know what I mean? Like I'm a diehard Raptor fan. The funniest thing is where we sit in the media gondola, the Raptors front office sits right above us. They're in the box right above us. So we're not talking necessarily about like Masai or Bobby, but like the rest of the front office is there. So they're just hearing me all the time. So
yeah, they're taking inputs from you. They're probably changing lineups. Their analytics is listening to you on Media Row saying
like,
that.
Write that down.
Why did the ref not call JJ Redick coming off a moving pick?
I'm still mad about that. Man.
Yeah.
That
I felt bad for you when JJ Redick retired because that's one less person you can complain about.
I did not feel bad. I was very happy when that moment.
No, shouts to JJ. I like JJ Redick.
Okay. All right.
Ken Burch said today that he confirmed that he and his family tested positive for COVID after they got back to Toronto in mid-September. He also told reporters that he lost his sense of smell and had some fatigue. He hasn't played, obviously, in the preseason because of health and safety protocols, but is expected to get some minutes tonight coming off the bench. I mean, listen, we've been talking about all these players so far in the preseason. Kem's going to figure in pretty significantly, too, into this rotation. But, I mean, first of all, before I ask you the basketball question, like, obviously hoping he gets better because, you know, Kem's wife and his daughter also tested positive, and we saw how COVID affected the Raptors last season. We saw how Fred and Pascal talked about just the fatigue and working back into game shape after they had to sit out. Mm. So, you know, hopefully, you know, everything goes well for Kem. But, you know, when he's on the court, you know, that was the starting center at the end of last season.
Yeah. And we kind of had him penciled in for the starting lineup. I think Precious Achiuwa has opened some eyes here. And there needs to at least be some competition there in terms of like, hey, let's just see who fits better. I still ultimately would start Kem. Because I do think that he brings an element of physicality and toughness that is a little bit more reliable than Precious. I think he's just a little bit stronger. Obviously, he's older and, you know, maybe a little bit more of a threat in the pick and roll. But, it's a scary situation, right? I mean, even though, like, so much of the population is vaccinated and things like that, like, there are still these breakthrough cases. And that seems to be what happened here with Kem and his family. So hopefully everyone's okay. Sounds like everyone's okay. So that's good. But yeah, from a Raptors perspective, I would like to see him with the starting lineup, get some run here tonight and sort of see where he's at physically. Because I do think that he's an important part of this team in terms of size. I think he is probably the most defensively sound out of all the Raptors bigs. On that level, I would want to see Kem, but also just on a personal level, like I hope him and his family is okay. Like I remember speaking with his mom, Wendy Sparks, who has a podcast called Courtside Moms, great podcast. And she was, you know, very, very positive person, you know, and so hopefully everyone's good.
What do you want to see? So two more preseason games. Who do you want to see? What do you want to see these last two games?
What do I want to see the last two games? Definitely number one, no injuries, right? And like, I don't want to see Fred catching an elbow from like Robert Williams III. You know, I don't want to see like, you know, Yuta, he was diving on the floor and stuff like that. And it that's great. That's what we love Yuta for. But also it's preseason, man, please. Okay. You're going to make the team, buddy. You're going to make the team.
Guarantee that contract.
Guarantee
that contract.
Raptors,
what are you doing?
Please.
Guarantee Utah's contract today challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So no injuries. That's the most important thing. The second thing I want to see is just sort of how some of the lineup combinations work. Because you would figure that with the back-to-back coming, which, by the way, why is there a back-to-back in preseason? Okay, but with a back-to-back coming up, you would assume that the Raptors would limit some of their players for the second half of that back-to-back. So what you're going to see in this game tonight is probably closer to or the closest to a sneak preview of sort of what the season's going to look like in terms of what the roster is going to be. And I want to see who's in that starting lineup. I want to see if it's still Goran getting the start tonight. I want to see if Kem gets the start tonight. All these things, I think, are still question marks heading into the season. And they'll have like another full week plus before the actual first game of the regular season tips off. But I want to see those combinations.
I want to see some more Malachi Flynn.
I agree. Don't we have an interview with Malachi too? I didn't see him on the rundown, man.
I know. He went 0 for 6.
Oh, so the producer, we can't play the conversation?
So the producer had to bump him a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Malachi, go for 44 and put you on the schedule tomorrow.
Yeah, we can bump Blake Murphy for Malachi Flynn, man. Come on. Not Matt Devlin.
Should we start a poll? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to hear from Malachi Flynn? Do you want to hear if Malachi will wear a Nick Nurse hat or play baseball versus hockey? Or do you think?
Listen, we're banning SVG, and I'm going to give myself a 7-day ban of referring to Nick's hat, okay?
All right. That's fair.
I recognize when it's, you know.
Yeah. That's fair.
When I'm actually, I don't recognize when I'm beating a joke into the ground. What am I talking about?
You definitely don't.
What am I actually talking about?
But speaking of Nick, though, we want to give Nick a shout out this weekend as part of the Nick Nurse Foundation in collaboration with MLLC's ongoing partnership with Second Harvest. Nick handed out 100 meal packages to the Boys and Girls Club in East Scarborough, which, you know, was a tradition. I think that Kyle Lowry at least did something charitable around Thanksgiving, and now Nick has sort of taken that on with Kyle moving on. And that's awesome, man. I think that's really cool. I mean, how many coaches around the NBA have their own charitable foundations? You know, as much as we joke about the Nick Nurse hats, like that's a charitable piece.
All jokes aside, you know, the Nick Nurse Foundation has obviously done great things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it goes without saying Giants of Africa.
Yep.
And Masai's involvement with that. So, no, I think it's great. And all jokes aside, the merch is pretty fire.
Oh,
the Giants of Africa merch.
Oh yeah.
Like this is not even a free promo. Like it's fire.
Oh yeah.
I'll be picking up a few shirts soon.
You got
when the first paycheck hits. Yeah.
You got okay. Wow. DT, I hope you're listening. But
Delano Banton has his own merch. Did you see that?
No.
They were promoting him on the Raptors official account.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so we got to get some of that. But
I think our friend Assad called it the Raptors Business Development Program.
It's part of it. Yeah. It's actually part of every single player's contract is actually a built-in segment where they make sure they get their own.
Fred should be a guest professor at a business school.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to hear Fred speak at a.
But you got to cut the check. You got to cut the check though.
Yeah, exactly. So shout out Nick Nurse. You know, happy Thanksgiving to people who are celebrating, and. That does it for the program today. So you've been listening to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll be here Monday to Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. All our episodes will be available on your podcast feed. I'm your host, William Liu. Thanks again to my producer and co-host, Alex Wong, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.